B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
All right, you got to get that starting pitching. You need a center field. You need this. That's not pounding. You know, that's not like pounding the conversation anymore. Is that forgotten about? I'm not saying you.
In terms of what?
Is people's focus now changed to they're 6.5 out? Forget about this year. You got to look to the future.
Oh no, absolutely. For me, absolutely not.
Okay,
I can't speak for the fan. I speak as a fan.
I wonder.
Right?
Does your focus change at all?
Yeah.
Now that you're not the first place team, you're the flailing second place team.
I can't even believe they're in second place. I almost hear two different questions. Like,
yeah.
At July 31st, obviously you have to make the decision. So that's, I hate saying the phrase wait and see, but as of right now, obviously I don't see them getting better. Like, I don't understand how you can watch players not be held accountable. Like, it's one thing to fail in the game. As we pointed out many times before, the baseball cliche, hey, you're successful only 30% of the time, you're
sure.
A Hall of Famer, right?
Right?
That's the thing with baseball. But when you look at how this team is performing, like physically, how you watch them in a game, the base paths mistakes, the fielding mistakes, the hitting is awful, not hustling, terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That all can be pointed at them. I mean, look, the hitting guys hit, all of a sudden Gabe Kapler looks brilliant. But when he really started to have to meddle with this lineup, that's when things have really started to go in the tank. Andrew McCutchen being gone has been awful for this lineup. He's got to find a way to get it back into gear. You have enough star power in the lineup. Well, especially, look, you have a guy like Rhys Hoskins who's supposed to be better than what he is right now. He's underachieving.
Right.
Bryce Harper is underachieving. Mm-hmm. Scott Kingery right now seems to be overachieving. But you have guys that are supposed to be helping out. Michael Franco, not a star by any means, I'm not saying that, but he should be doing better than what he's doing in the lineup, obviously. But Gabe Kapler is the guy that's supposed to hold these guys accountable. And now they just look like they're comfortable. They look like they can get away with lackadaisical play. If that's the case, there's no bouncing back from with this manager.
What if he is trying to hold them accountable, but they're not doing anything?
Well, then you have to get a voice that they'll listen to.
At some point, though, players got to take ownership. And we had the same type of conversation with the Sixers. And to me, I know we always go at the manager, but I mean, at what point? And I would like to talk to Ricky about this because at what point do the players take ownership in their performance?
I don't think we have fired one coach since we've done this show. Jim Schwartz. Everyone wanted to fire Brett Brown. I mean, not saying everyone, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were already on the bandwagon for firing Gabe Kapler. We haven't been there. I hear a guy laugh at his manager's idea. After all that other evidence, I don't know how you defend the guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's ask Ricky about it. From NBC Sports Philadelphia, he is on 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Joining us right now, pre- and post-game Phillies analyst from NBC Sports Philadelphia, our friend Ricky Batalico. Good morning, Ricky.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Fantastic, man.
This is not going in a good direction. I can feel it already.
No, Ricky, it's bad. Look, we don't usually grab the pitchforks to fire a coach or a manager or whatever, even a position coach. But I don't know. I mean, I know you were doing post game. You hear Bryce Harper after the game kind of scoff and laugh at the suggestion of a curveball machine coming in for batting practice. What was your reaction to Harper's reaction to Gabe Kapler's suggestion?
Harper's reaction was a real reaction. What do you want? He's laughing because I think Gabe just said that because he wants to let everybody know that we're really working hard here and we're going to bring in a pitching machine to throw curveballs. Come on. So who's working, the machine? I mean,
right.
Let's really think about this for a minute. Bryce Harper does not need to see a pitching machine throw him a curveball. I think that's fair to say.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
I just don't. Okay, so you're bringing in a machine to throw curveballs. Hold on, wait for it. Nicely done. So what?
So,
why was that even brought up in the press conference?
Well, I think you made a great point. I think it is to show everyone that they're going to do whatever it takes to try to get the bats back in order. But in all honesty, though, Ricky, as a manager, we always talk about it. I know a lot of people will jump to, oh, fire the manager when the minute something starts going wrong. I'm not that type of guy, but when I listen to that reaction from Bryce Harper and I watch the way these guys play, how is a manager supposed to hold these guys accountable?
Well, number one, he doesn't. The if you haven't noticed, the talks, the so-called quote-unquote talks, I talk to them and he knows he's got to do a better job. Mm-hmm. That's not working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we saw is we've seen Segura not dig out the ball at least twice. He actually did it at home, the first game back at home the other day. And then you have Hernandez the other night do it. Well, you can't bench one for the other, can you?
No.
That's the problem you're running into. Mm-hmm. You ran into a social situation within your clubhouse that you didn't bench somebody for not hustling and not doing the right thing, so the next guy who does it can't get benched. Do you see what's happening?
Yeah.
That's why I understand the manager's a little disconnect. But, I mean, is this his fault? No. This team, these guys, you have to look at it this way. These guys are professionals. Maybe it's our fault. Maybe we thought this team was actually going to be good. Maybe it's our fault. Maybe we saw the writing on the wall and we saw these great players coming in and guys that could play the game and they could hit and this and that. And we thought actually the Phillies were going to be good, and we're wrong.
Well, our owner spent stupid money, Ricky. We were supposed to be hyped up and watch this team win.
He's got to be pissed. He's got
to
be pissed off.
You're right. Speaking with Ricky Pitalico, Phillies pre and post game analyst for NBC Sports Philadelphia. So, Ricky, have you ever been on a team that was struggling so much that you're in quicksand the entire time, no matter how good you were or how bad you were, you just couldn't climb out of it? And if so, how did your manager at any level, how did they help you try to get out of that?
You mean on personal or like team-wise?
Team-wise.
Well, when I first came up, we were in first place by like 8 games in July, and we went on a skid. It's when the Reds had like Eric Davis and Larkin and all these guys.
Chris Sabo.
They came in and beat the living daylights out of us, and we could not recover from that. We went downhill for the next 8 games, but I mean, we started pulling ourselves out. The problem with this is, here's why this is a little different. Okay, you just faced the Braves first place, the Nats who are up and coming again, and then you face a team that's bad, and all three of them whooped you around. That's the problem here. Problem is, they don't know how to get themselves out of skids. We saw that last year.
Now, is that?
And I don't care who you are. If you say this doesn't remind you, I know Gabe said, well, there's no correlation between the two last year in August and September and now, but there is. The coaching staff, there are players that were here last year. So there are some things that are in common. But this definitely reminds me of last year because I remember coming to work every day last year thinking they're going to get out of it today. They're going to get out of it today. They're going to get out. And it just never happened. I mean, that's what and if you don't feel like that right now after that Marlins series, then you're not a true Phillies fan.
Now tell me this, when it comes to something like that, are you looking for the manager to pull you out or the players are going to, and what did you guys do as you're within the locker room to pull yourselves out of that skid?
I liked having a fire lit under the team. I really did. Mm-hmm. That's why you should have heard Larry Boa's speeches when we were getting our butts whooped. Mm-hmm. That was the best. 2001, we had a chance to win the division, and we went into Montreal, and man, did he air us out. I would say a good 45 minutes just getting aired out in the clubhouse after the game. And he wasn't – he doesn't pull any punches. He would go after one by one. If he didn't like what you did, yeah, he didn't pull any punches. Bo was great, man.
So, Ricky, real quick, because we've had that name mentioned a couple of times.
Why quick? Are you kicking me off the show?
No, of course not. I would never kick you off the show. We still
it's his
do
way of saying, excuse me, I'm interrupting you, Ricky.
Oh, there he is. I thought Cooney was asleep.
Oh, what?
I just got up.
Why did you focus
your
on
your voice
Bob
woke me up.
Hey, Bobby. We're good, Bobby.
Ricky. I'm losing. No, but Ricky, Larry Bowles' name got mentioned a couple of times here. Can that type of manager survive in Major League Baseball today?
probably not.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the game has definitely changed a little bit, but I just think, you know what? Fire and ice is always good. You have a bit of fire, a little bit of cooling down. I think that's always nice. I think there are guys that could do that on an even level that could still manage. I think Bo could. Bo is a smart guy. A lot of people just look at him as this fiery little nutcase, but he's a smart individual, baseball-wise.
Ricky, what's been Gabe's biggest problem this year? And if you want to go X's and O's, that's one thing. Or if it's handling of players that you already mentioned, what's been his biggest problem this year as far as this team goes?
I would probably say injuries, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's protecting him a little bit in a sense, but I think injuries are not easy to overcome in baseball, as we've seen with Andrew McCutchen. There's, you know, there's no looking backwards and saying, well, who can we, we'll just throw somebody in that spot. It just doesn't work like that. But I also think as a disciplinarian, I'm not buying into what he's done. I really think that once you let one thing go, it's a snowball effect, and things will keep coming back to haunt you after that. Like after the first time he let Segura, you know, he just talked to him. Talking doesn't work. You know what? Putting a guy on the bench, and I don't care if he's embarrassed. These guys make a lot of money. You know, it's not that hard. You know, three or four times a game to go out there at least look like you're hustling.
Is there anybody in that locker room, Rick, that can do that also? Like if I'm a player and I see the manager doesn't do it, not that they can bench, but is there anybody in that locker room, do you feel, that could go up to another guy and say, yo, dude, let's go. What are we doing here?
I'm sure they do privately. They have to. They really, I mean, that's the way you build team morale, is if somebody stands up to one another. You can't just have everybody, although it does seem it from the outside looking in that this is a pat on the back type team, but the thing I'm tired of, and it's even in a lot of the press conferences, always a pat on the back. They could get their butts whooped, and it's, oh, you know what? Sean Rodriguez did a great job pitching today. You know, I don't want to hear that. Hmm. You know, I think the one press conference was not yesterday, the day before, was the best one Gabe had because he actually said how he felt. Hmm. And he said that he was, this is unacceptable and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I need some fire.
Well, he tried giving that Saturday by getting thrown out of the game.
Come on.
No, I thought that's how you'd react. Ricky, just two things. Hey, when you were in the minors, did you guys ever go through a losing streak and then maybe a coach try to get you out of it in a very unique way?
In the minors?
You were telling me a story once about a unique way a manager tried to get you guys out.
You mean the manager? Are you talking about the one where he took his clothes off?
What?
No, tell us that one.
That outweighs the case of beer you told me about.
Okay, wait a minute.
That was Arizona Fall Ball.
Miscusi.
We were 0-5 and.
Wait. We want to hear to take the clothes off. What happened to this manager?
Okay. In single A, we had a guy named Roy Matica was his name. He was our manager. And we were losing, you know, a bunch of games in a row. He got all ticked off, gets thrown out of the game. So instead of just leaving the field, he then started taking every bit of clothing off that he had on and putting it on home plate before he left the yard.
That's a meltdown.
What did he have on when he left the yard, Rick?
I think he just had sliding shorts.
If Gabe Kapler doesn't strip show. if Gabe Kapler isn't naked by the fifth inning of this game, I'm out.
We don't need that.
Yeah. It would be a gift that would live forever. But no, another manager bought you guys a case of beer or something?
Oh yeah, he bought us a bunch of beer. We were in Tucson, Arizona. We had to go back to Mesa. He just threw a bunch of beer on the bus. And he says, figure out what you guys need to do and let's start winning. And we ended up winning the whole thing out there. we had some good players though. I mean, we were loaded up on the Expos guys with Cliff Floyd and Shane Andrews when he was really good back, a bunch of guys that were really good back then.
All right. Hopefully Gabe Kapler will find
some. The beer helped.
The beer helped. All right.
It never hurts.
Ricky,
maybe they should go back to that in the clubhouse.
They should. I'm with you on that one. Now, I have to ask you this question because you are a culinary expert, Ricky Pitalico. Would you or would you not eat a quesadilla that smelled like soap?
No chance.
Really? What if it was your last two?
Soap?
What if it was your last two tortillas and it was a steak quesadilla you just made?
I would run out to the store and get another tortilla.
Yeah, I decided to eat the quesadilla.
Oh, how's that taste? How's it taste this morning?
This morning, not so bad, but for hours after I ate it for lunch yesterday, it was, yeah, it was still tasting like soap in my mouth.
Were you shooting fire?
I was not shooting fire. little bubbles,
yeah, but it
Ricky.
Smelled good.
it was Dawn fresh.
Lemony fresh.
Yeah. Ricky Batalico, ladies and gentlemen. Ricky, always good talking to you, my friend.
You don't need Lysol in the bathroom on that one, do you?
Ricky, you're the man. I'll talk to you soon, bud.
Later, I got it.
All right, take it easy. Ricky Batalico, ladies and gentlemen, from NBC Sports Philadelphia, pre- and post-game Phillies analyst, 610-632-0975. Ricky told me that story years ago, and that's where I was trying to lead him with the beer on the bus.
Yeah, but he went naked manager.
But he was like, what, with the naked manager? I'm like, that story evaded me. You did not tell me that story.
Yeah, naked manager, man. You just go ahead and have a meltdown. Just strip everything here. Just take all this. There it is.
There's been managers I've seen that just really act a fool. Like, they throw bases.
Yeah.
They throw the rosin bag, right?
Yeah.
I've seen that. Like, I saw a guy go around to every base and kick dirt on every base.
Yeah.
Literally take his hands and put dirt over home plate.
A baseball meltdown is a great thing.
Oh, yeah. The one guy acted like a rosin bag was a grenade.
Yeah.
And he acted like he pulled the pin out.
Yeah, I remember that. That was an old Braves coach, I think.
Yeah, so I'm like, can we hire him? Yeah. I want him to be, like, the psych coach here. I don't know. But whatever. I would love to see it. But Gabe's not that guy.
No.
And it even felt like, I don't know, I think we look at him as a disingenuous person, and I think that he is a genuine person.
Yes.
But he's just so different than all of us here in the East Coast.
He loves his guys.
He does. He just doesn't know how to tap into them, I guess. Don't look at me like that.
I was laughing at Trey's look, not at what you said.
Don't look at me like that.
Okay.
We got naked managers running around, I use that phrase, and you think that?
It sounded weird.
It does seem like the inmates are on the asylum, though.
Yes, it does.
Because you know what I thought of this year?
Now we got inmates.
You know what I thought of this year?
What's that?
The Fortnite incident last year.
Ah, yes.
That popped back into my mind. That was August, September, when the team
was
really
late. Yeah,
it was late. And Carlos Santana was the one, or was it Arrieta? I forget.
I think it was Arrieta.
Went in and flipped the table and smashed the TV.
Yeah, well, Arrieta.
That was Santana.
That was Santana.
Yeah.
Santana did that.
And he's a guy that was coming from a winning culture.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like what he saw.
No.
And he did that. Yeah. And, you know, it popped back into my head today, and I went, man, maybe Gabe needs to get a little more control of this clubhouse.
Look, you can read into the stuff that you see on the field and say he doesn't have control, but then when you literally hear Bryce Harper laughing at a suggestion by his manager, that's where you go, yeah, forget about reading into anything. He has no control of this team. No control. And you hear Ricky Batalico talk about how, none of the players are held accountable.
No, like Cesar's a perfect example. How many times can he do it?
What the hell is he doing in this lineup anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah. These are the questions that we ask. Jack wants to talk about Gabe Kaplan. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man.
I just want to say, Bob, you're the man. I just want to talk a little bit about Gabe Kaplan. I just don't think he has any leadership qualities. He's dull, and I just don't think he's the right guy for the Phillies, you know?
Well, that is all the evidence in front of you. That's the conclusion you come to. I agree with you.
Yeah. I just don't understand why we have Bryce Harper hitting first, because if we do get going, you know, we won't have any guys on base. You know, say he hits a home run, there's no on base. That's only, you know, one run instead of, you know, two, three runs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I just wanted, it's my first time calling. I just wanted to say you guys do a really good job, and I appreciate for letting me get on and talk.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it. Yeah, no,
he's absolutely right. When you put your two best power hit, look, I'm not opposed to putting productive guys at the top of the order, and I get that Bryce is on base, but when your two best power options are leading off and they go back to back like they did the other day, and you get two measly runs out of that, that's a roster construction problem.
Mm-hmm. It's frustrating to me, and I brought up Jake Arrieta at the beginning of the season when Arrieta called everybody out. Remember during the long rain delay against the Mets, as a matter of fact, and he said guys weren't focused. It was like, well, what did he see? Like, what was going on in the locker room during that rain delay, in the clubhouse during that rain delay, that made him so infuriated to think that his team wasn't prepared? And then I went back to the Fortnite thing. I'm like, are they rocking Fortnite in the clubhouse again?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
Are we
on?
Doing beer and fried chicken here? Like Red Sox? But guess what? The Red Sox were able to win the following year.
Yeah. Mm. Now, was that Valentine going back there to manage? Was that under his watch?
It might have been.
That wasn't John Farrell, I don't think.
I can't remember.
No, I thought it was under Francona, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe it was the last year of Francona.
Yeah.
Maybe it was.
I thought it was.
A guy that Gabe Kapler played for. Kevin in...
Michael Jordan.
Right, exactly. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call in because I'm seeing the same things you guys are seeing. It's almost as if when Andrew McCutchen came out with that ACL injury, it's just like the heart of the team is just not there. Everyone's playing individually. They're all trying to individually do their job, get their numbers. But then, like, I go back to when Andrew McCutchen was in the lineup, and I can relate it to the Eagles with the celebration dances, with Andrew McCutchen in the dugout dancing to Oh Happy Day. I want to get back to that, but I don't see it anymore. It's just they're just trying too hard. It's frustrating.
So I watch Bryce Harper, and I look at a guy that's trying too hard.
Exactly.
I watch Cesar Hernandez or Gene Segura, and I watch a guy that's not trying. I watch guys that are not trying too hard. Like, they are lackadaisical, and their head's not in the game.
But I just totally agree with what you were saying, so I felt the urge to give it and call.
I appreciate
it. My 2 cents. And also, I wanted to give a guess for when he's going to hit a 69.
Here we go, Kevin.
Okay, so my birthday is on Wednesday, and they play the Mets on Wednesday, and I feel like that's when it's going to happen because that would be a great birthday present if I got FanFest tickets. I've never gone, and I've always wanted to go.
Kevin,
you know what, Kevin?
Wednesday.
You're going to get fan.
The 26th. So we have it booked.
Is my birthday.
There it is. Wednesday the 26th. And if we don't talk to you, happy birthday. But we're pulling for you, buddy.
Thank you so much.
All right. Absolutely, man.
So we already had somebody else claim the birthday bid today. Our buddy Zach in Old City said, it's my birthday tonight. I'm going to the game. I'm feeling number 69.
There we go.
There's no doubt when it's going to happen.
To put it in that phrase is...
I'm feeling 69?
I'm feeling 69. Yes. What
oh, you'll feel it.
Because... You definitely.
That's kind of the idea.
We're all going on Thursday, right?
It's the Beasley outing.
We got a little work outing.
You two suck at emails, don't you?
Yeah, you two are really bad.
I tell everybody don't email me. You know, I'm for real.
There's a company-wide outing on Thursday.
Yeah, I tell everybody don't email me, please. You know,
anyway.
If you really want me to talk to you, you know.
I'm sure we can dig you up a couple tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be in attendance on Thursday.
Yeah.
Bryce is going to hit 69.
What happened?
Jamie, you didn't get that TPS report?
You have to shed your shirt.
No. Nobody needs to see me shirtless at a Phillies game.
It's Bryce, the topless Beasley outing, right? We're all going topless. Right. Is that what the memo said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if
Bryce goes number 69 while we're there on Thursday.
Reese, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Reese, I'm sorry. We have to do, something has to be done.
Shotgun a beer?
Works for me.
All right.
Michelob Ultra.
Bob's like,
yeah.
Twist my arm, why don't you?
Uh-huh.
Bill, right here in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. Love you guys. Bobby, you've been my basketball guy since I was in high school, so thanks.
Ah, cool.
There you go.
Hey, Bro keeps me in check as a Philadelphia fan. He's kept me in check with the whole fire Kapler. And that seems like, you know, even Bro's ready to pull the trigger on that. My thing is, are we not putting any heat on Klentak and McPhail, who've kind of built this organization now on launch angles and stuff, and we haven't, you know, developed any young pitching? And the other thing that I wanted to bring up is, I was doing some research yesterday. You know, it seems like Nola's really suffered since they made the pitching coach change. And, you know, I read that the Phillies promoted Chris Young to head pitching coach because other teams were interested in him. And I was just curious as to what you guys thought of that and, you know, how much, say, you know, Kapler had in that, or was that more of a McPhail and Klentak thing?
I would think it would be McPhail and Klentak, mostly Klentak. I get the sense from Andy McPhail that he is the governing guy kind of thing, and Matt Klentak's really the guy that makes the decisions. And he'll go to McPhail. When Andy McPhail talks about the relationship he has with Matt Klentak, I actually believe him. Like, sometimes I'm very skeptical of people, but I think Andy McPhail took a job that he could oversee a baseball team, and Matt Klentak is really the decision maker. He'll go to McPhail for advice, and McPhail will be a sounding board. But it's really Matt Klentak that makes the decisions, which is why I don't think, if you're asking me for a prediction, that Gabe Kapler is going to get fired, because Klentak doesn't want to fire the guy that he hired a year and a half into the tenure. But if you're asking me about the bench coaches, that's going to be a decision for Matt Klentak to make.
Okay. Do you think we see center?
Say that again?
Do
Do you think we see something? I mean, do you think somebody woke the plank for this?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't look. They spent your ownership, John Middleton and the Buck Cousins, for them to spend the money that they're spending. They want to see results, and the results that they have right now are all negative. There's nothing really like. You might look at like Scott Kingery's year and go, "Oh, look, he's being able to put it together in the first half of the season. That's good to finally see. Maybe Roman Quinn will stay healthy. All right, great." But you want to see the results. When you made the investment that you made, you want to see the results now. And I think somebody's head is going to roll for this.
Yeah, the sad thing is now it looks like stupid money.
Yeah, right. As of right now. Yeah.
Hold on. Don't hang up on Billy.
He
had some nice stupid money to you.
He had some nice words for me at the beginning of this call,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did. It was nice.
I have my own stack of FanFest tickets. Bill, you want to go to FanFest?
Guys, I don't want to take them from somebody. I'm a shore guy during the summer. I like to... You know, hit the beach.
All right, I'll hit you up down the shore then.
There you go.
Yeah, listen, Bob, I appreciate it, really. Thank you. Just keep up the good work.
You got it, bud.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you calling it.
I get shot down. My first time I tried to give out fan fest tickets, I got shot down.
Guy's like, Bob, I like you. And Bob's like, you want to go out? And he's like, nope. I'm out. No, that's like, hey, let's keep your distance.
I hurt a little bit.
I didn't say I liked you.
Yeah.
I just said I liked you.
I didn't say I like you like that.
Yeah, you're Trey, cool, I shot but I didn't down. like you.
Yeah, like we could be friends. Yeah.
Did I overstep?
It was a little aggressive for the first date, Bob. Was it?
Yeah, you just dove right in.
You got real handsy right off the bat.
It kind of went.
You got whoa. You're moving too fast.
It was like, I love...
Bill just hung up and was like, what was that?
No groping.
I am a lady.
Yeah. Bob, you were like, Bill, I love you. And it's like, I like you.
You're cool.
I like you.
Yeah, you're cool.
Oh, man. Bill hurt me. Hit me in the feels.
All right. Guess what? It wasn't only the Phillies not making plays in the field at the Phillies game on Sunday. Friday. We also had an error amongst us, ladies and gentlemen.
Big time.
Yeah, the Phillies weren't the only ones making bad plays at Citizens Bank Park. One of us made a bad play as well. Time at the Fanatics, 9:26.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, before we get to why we can't be playing the sport that we criticize so often, just to let you know, the Fanatic Deal of the Week is a real humdinger. Attention golfers, your last chance to get the Turnpike Golf Card with the Fanatic's Deal of the Week. With the Turnpike Golf Card, you'll enjoy a round of golf at six of Pennsylvania's premier courses for just $69. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Hurry. They are going fast. And guess what? You better hurry because they're all gone after this week. $69, Trey.
That's beautiful. What do you mean all of us couldn't play? You said something about...
Oh, yeah, baseball. Yeah, couldn't play baseball. The team we criticized.
Well, let's not put me in that same cart.
You were a hell of a baseball player?
No, I'm an athlete.
A professional
one at that. I can play whatever I'm trained.
No. This is where we get dangerous, Trey.
I could be whatever I could be trained to be.
Today?
If I was trained. Properly trained.
Properly trained. You think you could hit an 80-mile-per-hour fastball?
Properly trained, yes.
Properly trained, how much time you need?
I don't know. Properly trained.
Okay, so 7 years, and we'll check back, and we'll see.
I'm just saying. If you're an athlete, you can be whatever you're trained to be.
Okay.
And I'm an athlete.
Let me ask you this question. Okay. Do you believe the hardest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball?
Absolutely, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we have that out of the way.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Right. I do believe that it's one of the hardest things. But, I mean, as an athlete, you could be whatever you're trained to be.
I just was
a football player.
I love it.
But I could have been a baseball player if I trained to be.
And you were a basketball player in Russia.
Yeah, I played in Russia.
In Russia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't just scoff at that, Bob. Oh, by the way, no, we're going to get to Jamie's story in a second. But Ryan in Langhorne wants to take you up on an offer there, Bobby. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Ryan. How you doing?
Bob, I just... Because I need to console you, because somebody shot you down, and that's not a good feeling. So I will gladly take those tickets off.
Wait, hold on.
Ryan's my rebound.
It's your slump buster.
Right. Hold on. Right. Come on now. You gotta speak sweet to Bobby. You gotta speak sweet. Speak sweet to him.
You go prom me.
Huh?
Yes, right. I would love to go. You go to prom with me? Come on.
Yeah, it just sounds funny.
That's a little too sweet, Ryan.
Ryan, even if Bob doesn't give you tickets, I'm going to give you my tickets. How about that?
Nice. How about that?
I got you covered, right? I got my own stash. How many do you need?
Two. Two's good.
Two, you got it.
There we go. All right. Ryan, just don't bring another man. Ryan, you are getting FanFest tickets. But oh, wait. Hold on. I wanted to get Ryan's Phillies point as well, Ryan. What's on your mind?
Oh, Sam's already talking to him.
That what I did? Okay, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
So, what was this, Friday, Jamie?
Yeah, Friday. I got
Chase
blessed.
Sutley night?
Blessed with some Diamond Club tickets from my buddy Brian Hicks. He was like, hey, I got these Diamond Club tickets. You want to go? And I looked at Addie, and this is why she's the best wife in the world.
Uh-huh.
And I go, babe, I just got offered Diamond Club tickets on Friday. You know I have to go, right?
Mm.
It's Chase Utley retirement night. And she goes, yeah, I know. And I was like, yeah!
You're getting a lot of those type of responses.
Like, yeah, she's either really subconscious or like deep down hating the hell out of me or just being way too cool.
What are you doing after work today, Jane?
Going to a golf outing.
But you took the family.
Yeah, we had a lovely day.
Yeah.
And I do have to laud anybody that goes with a baby. The Phillies service staff and the ushers made that such a wonderful experience yesterday.
Yes.
They are phenomenal at what they do with that and kids.
That's just wonderful. Yeah. So Friday.
Yeah, that was bad.
You're there. No, Friday you're there.
Yeah.
I was gonna have you make up for the story. With then saying like how great the family story was, but whatever.
Nah, we'll get that out of the way.
We'll get back to it. But so Friday, you're there in the Diamond Club. You're there in the
12th row, right behind the home plate. Beautiful seats. It's great. You could see Aaron Nola's balls breaking all over the place. You could see him painting the corners. It was great.
Okay,
those seats are phenomenal.
So you're there.
Yeah,
you enjoying yourself.
Uh huh. We got there early. Met early for happy hour. Had a couple pops. Just want to preface that.
So a foul ball comes your way.
Yeah.
One inning. Showtime.
I think it was the sixth.
Okay. So plenty of time to drink some beers.
That was lubricated. I'll say that.
Okay.
And I've never caught a foul ball or a home run in my life. I've come close once. Jimmy Rollins, I missed a home run ball by like a row. The guy literally in front of me got it. I lost a foul ball another time. Those are the only two chances I've ever really had. I've gone to hundreds and hundreds of games. So the ball goes straight up. It's like height of the stadium high.
Okay.
And at first it looks like it's going to the upper level back, but you know when you top one like that, the spin on the ball.
Oh yeah.
So I'm looking up at it and it's probably seriously like stadium height. It was up there. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, oh, it's going to the second deck. No, it's tailing back. It's coming right at me.
Oh my god.
And I didn't put my beer down, which was probably a mistake.
Uh-huh.
And I just put my right hand up, which is not my baseball catching hand.
Uh-huh.
And I just tried to, like, I knew it was going to hurt. I might have chickened out a little bit, but I just missed the ball in between my index and thumb. Like, it grazed my thumb, missed my palm, and exploded on the seats on the concrete right next to us so high that it went back up to, like, the club level.
Whoa!
And the sound it made when it hit the concrete, I was like, thank God I didn't catch that. That would have really hurt. But yeah, I blew my golden opportunity.
Well, I think the move is supposed to, you catch it in the beer, and then you drink the beer.
The beer, yeah. I should have done that.
And why weren't you thinking properly?
I'd probably because I was like 6 or 7 IPAs deep.
There you go, that'll do it.
But I was really angry.
And the fans around you, how'd they treat you?
Yeah, did you get booed?
No. No.
Really?
I probably should have been.
Yeah,
I would have.
I think there was one of those, yeah.
And then you went with baby Skyler on Sunday yesterday?
Yeah. That's nice. And the Philly staff is great.
The Philly Well, you know what? That's a great story. You know who's got better stories? Inge and KOP. What's up, Inge?
Yo, dude, maybe, who was that? Who was the dork that was telling this story about trying to catch the ball?
Inge, stop acting like you don't know who I am. You listen every morning.
I do? Okay, but look, man. Maybe you should have brought a glove, man.
No, that's outrageous.
Yeah, that's what kids do.
I mean, for someone like you, it might help, you know?
That's brilliant insight, Inge. Thank you.
So let's talk about the Phillies.
Yeah.
This is the problem. You can't buy a team. Are there any other players on the farm, or is this it?
Alec Boehm.
Alec what? Boehm?
Boehm.
Who the hell is he?
Alec Boehm.
Got to pay attention, Inge.
Yeah. Look, this is the problem. When they got these guys, especially Segura, I was weren't you guys thinking about this? How can a 300 hitter with a very affordable contract, why would Seattle let him go? You know, it's because he's Bobby Abreu. That's why they let him go.
Or J.P. Crawford's actually good.
See, this is the problem. This is not the 2008 Phillies. This is the 2002 Phillies without the farm, without the Udleys and the Rollins and the Howard.
So a sub-500-ish team.
Yeah, you got to spend another maybe $500 million to make a good team. That's the problem. You got to start building from the farm. You can't just buy players.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
that's a great point, Iggy. That's a great point. You're right. That's how it's done. Like the 2008 team.
Look, let me get back to the Sixers real fast. And I think Elton Brand told you exactly what he was doing, and I guess you got to be happy with it, even though he's not going to trade Simmons.
And it'll make sense. So
he's basically telling you he's going to bring back Jimmy Butler, and he's going to try to sign Al Horford.
Iggy, can I just tell you something? You're right. But I'm just going to tell you something. I don't know how long you've been calling this station. It's been for years, right, Jamie? Iggy's been calling for years. I guarantee you this is the greatest phone call you've ever made, minus the BS with Jamie in the beginning. But everything else, you're on point, my friend.
What are you talking about, man?
So I'm giving you a compliment.
He's the worst.
That's why I didn't understand it.
I mean, really, of everything he just said, do we disagree on any of it?
No, because it was...
Well, except for the you have to spend $500 million more.
More, yeah.
That was pretty dumb.
Right, yeah, but I think what he was saying
was... But yes, you need homegrown talent in baseball to win.
Right, to make up for the mistakes of this team, you have to spend another $500,000 when you should just be developing young talent.
Yeah. When you look at the Braves, the heart of their order is all homegrown talent.
Yes, exactly. Iggy, great stuff. The best 90 seconds he ever had. I was going to say on the air, but it might be ever. Time of the Fanatic, 9:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Still trying to get over that story Ricky Pitalico told us of his manager stripping during a losing streak.
Stuck in your head, huh?
Yeah.
Of all the bright, great sports points we've made today, the manager stripping is the one that sticks out to you.
I will say, we've killed it today with sports opinions. I think, look, the bottom line is, I hate the bandwagon of fire the coach, manager, whoever. Because I do believe it's low-hanging fruit. Like, yeah, you're going to be right eventually. I can't say that enough. But when you're watching a team play the way the Phillies have been playing, and then you hear... It's not just about losing. It's about the effort you see, the mistakes made, the lack of hustle, the base-running blunders. And it's the same thing on repeat. And then your manager suggests something to get the team better, like bringing in a curveball machine... And your $330 million investment laughs at it. How are you supposed... Like, Jamie, in all seriousness, you're the Gabe Pride leader, right?
Yeah, what do we call it? The head marshal?
Head marshal. Grand marshal.
Grand marshal.
So, you're that guy. You're saying defending Gabe Kapler no matter what.
Yeah, I think a lot of these issues are above him.
And you are right.
Yeah.
But in firing a manager, when has that ever really mattered?
Right? No, it hasn't.
Especially a guy that's only in a year and a half.
But when I see this continued Cesar stuff, like that play at second yesterday, I still can't even get my head around that. When I see that happen again and again, and Segura... You know, San Fran, I don't really hold against them, but the other one was pretty bad.
Your best option right now is Scott Kingery playing. Like, there's no way Cesar Hernandez should be in the lineup. Like, if you want to put him at third, go and put him at third. But Scott Kingery,
I would try that over Sean Rodriguez.
Okay, Sean Rodriguez finishes like fourth in my third baseman rankings. Yeah. Like it would be Kingery, it would be
Franco
would be.
I'd rather put Hector Neris there than Sean Rodriguez.
Let's give it a whirl.
Why not?
But in all seriousness, you're watching these mistakes, and then you hear Bryce Harper laugh at him. What, like, how do you defend it?
It's getting tough.
it is getting tough to defend because of the product they're putting out there. It's getting tough to defend.
If Trey, if you're in this clubhouse, and I understand it's baseball, it's not football, but whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're an athlete watching other athletes make the same bonehead mistake, what do you do about it?
You want to say something to them.
Can you?
Being a player, you would... See, baseball is so much different. Yeah, you should be able to talk to your players, though. You should be able to talk to your own teammates.
I will say that Rhys Hoskins said after the game that he did talk to Cesar Hernandez. Yeah. And he said that Cesar, it wasn't necessarily an effort thing. Mm-hmm. It was a heads-up thing.
Yeah.
And look, I think Cesar Hernandez, I would agree with that because Cesar is watching the ball on Saturday. He's looking down the line. He thinks it's going foul. And that's why he was slow out of the box. No excuse. Mm-hmm. That's just an explanation. Regardless, still a boneheaded play.
Yeah, and Rhys Hoskins was the only one that kind of came out and said, you know what, I went and spoke to him about this.
Mm-hmm. I think Rhys is the leader of this clubhouse.
Yeah.
And I hope I see something from him to show me that.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, well, he's underperforming.
He is.
Yeah, but a lot of this stuff that you're handling right now, is the players need to take ownership of it and have those type of conversations in the locker room. You can't always look to the coach to fix everything. I think some players have to take ownership of their performance and police themselves.
They absolutely should. Let's put a cap on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam Wilson, what do you have?
This morning we asked, do you have confidence Gabe Kapler can turn this team around? We have just under 2,600 votes today. 78% said no, they do not have confidence in Gabe.
An overwhelming majority. And I do have to tell you that the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. And don't forget to take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment, no payment, and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Let's get into none other than our takeaways of the day. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is that it's the 24th of June, so that means we're exactly 2 months away from FanFest.
Oh, August 24th. Hey, there, we still got some tickets to give away for that. Woo-hoo. Wouldn't you know? Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is I apparently suck at catching foul balls. And Ingy's the real dork.
I don't know who that dork is answering the phone.
Is that dork
answering the phone? Bob Cooney.
Bill, if I came on too strong, I apologize. There's a pair of tickets just waiting for you should you change your mind. I'm not begging. Just saying.
Seemed pretty easy, Bob.
Yeah.
That's all. Bill.
It's like Ricky Bobby leaving two tickets for your dad every day. Hey, my daddy shows up. There's two tickets for him. No? Okay. Anyway, sorry. Trey Thomas, take away that.
It's Monday, so I'm going to leave you with something nice. Mr. Rogers' mom knitted all of his sweaters. There you go.
Wow.
Do with that as you please. See, it made you smile.
It did. I'm picturing Mrs. Rogers, I guess, just knitting away.
Just knitting away.
My takeaway of the day is that maybe Mrs. Rogers should have knitted more clothes for Ricky Pitalico's former minor league manager who stripped during a minor league game.
Maybe some long johns.
Leave less to the
Why is a manager wearing sliding pants? I don't know.
I don't know.
Hey, man,
I
you never point. Know when you got to go in hard.
That's I what guess. You think Gabe wears a cup?
That's what she said.
Everybody, stay tuned for Gargano.
That is a good question. Does Gabe wear a cup?
Hey, Gabe. Knock, knock.
You never know when you're going to have to go in a game and play.
That's right.
I'd rather have him come off the bench than Sean Rodriguez.
Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.